This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we have special guest, the legend himself, Bennett. How you doing, Bennett?
What's up, fellas? Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. No, I'm glad you're here to talk with us, because it's been a minute. We were just talking, dude. I don't even know the last time we probably chatted, man. It's been a few months, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, lots changed, you know, pulled the ripcord on New York and made them move.
Yeah, you were living the nomad life for a minute.
I did a little nomad life. You know, that was extenuated a little bit on social media, right? Just to kind of maximize the trip, you know, and there was so much to show there. But I've been in, LA now since end of January, beginning of February. And it's tough after 15 years in New York. It was just time to pull the ripcord. It was time to get out of there. You know, the pandemic and everything else that's happened, it was time to get out of there and make some moves.
Absolutely. You got out of there the perfect time, to be honest. Like, you got out of there right when it was like the city was basically dead throughout the pandemic. And it's just now kind of starting to come back. So you definitely did it right.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm due back for a visit very soon, but we'll see what's transpires, what's changed.
I was just gonna say, man. So how is it living out there in LA? Like, are you completely embracing like the beach life? You know, like the whole Southern Cal life? Or like, how do you like it out there?
Let's go on a little walk here real quick. Just am I embracing it? I don't know. Like my patio situation is better than anything you could have possibly dreamed of, you know, in New York.
And I was going to say, it looks very different than New York this time of year, for sure. So
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Good, man. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. So you've been out there since January, roughly?
End of January, February. Yeah.
Okay. So not too long. So do you ever plan on moving back to New York or just visiting?
I've wanted to move out here since I did a summer working in finance, surprise, surprise, downtown in LA, and live with a bunch of buddies who went to USC. And, you know, the idea was like, I don't know if I can do like the LA social scene. That's not really, you know, my jam. And, you know, my view is like, if I can ever meet the woman in New York, hopefully, you know, extract her and go start the lifestyle in LA and the young fam, that would be the ultimate. And, you know, knock on wood, we'll see. Hopefully that's panning out.
good. And we'll definitely get into that.
Yeah, you definitely have found love.
Yeah, which is awesome. So we'll start there, though. Let's start where you first really tried to find love on national television, like all of the rest of us idiots out there. If you had to, you know, sum up your experience on The Bachelorette, if somebody asked, like, how do you feel now about your experience on The Bachelorette after a few years have passed now, what would you say?
Man, you're starting me on a big one. You know, the experience there was unlike anything else, right? Of course, that's like a very baseline. You know, there's so much that you don't see, you know, as you very, very well know. And, you know, my experience, I was all in on it. I really thought that there was, you know, chance and possibility. And I felt like I was like this close to getting a date where I think, sincerely, everything would have been, you know, quite different in many, many respects. I was kind of compromised by, you know, some things that were going on. And I'm not, you know, even talking about, you know, Noah, right? I'm talking about other things that, you know, happened to me on the show. And, I know that, you know, by my contract, I can't talk about conversations, but when I say something, you know, happened to me.
Yes, you can. Blake gets cease and desist all the time. Just kidding.
Yeah. Don't get in trouble.
No, yeah, please don't.
I just said, you know, there was like something that happened to me, and like my journey was compromised from the jump before Tayshia got there. And it was really, really tough. I was like worried about it. I didn't think it was fair. Felt, you know, like it just sucked. And, you know, I knew I was like, all right, without going into all the specifics, but, you know, maybe those specifics will come out sooner than later.
Yeah.
But I think it was just one of those things that I just wanted that date because, you know, as I think you've probably seen and as others have gotten to see and me in social media, like there's a whole heck of a lot, you know, and I was well aware of that. You gotta get that date for that to come out. And I didn't get that date. So, you know, like, while I may have had, you know, more of a following that came to me up until, you know, than the current, you know, bachelor who just hopefully found love up until his fifth week as the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to tell you like something, right? Like there was something going on. There was something weird because it was very bizarre that I didn't get that date. And, it, you know, sure, it could have been, you know, Tayshia just wasn't that into me. And, you know, that's totally reasonable, right? And I didn't even ask that, you know, to her in the tell-all. But, you know, for whatever reason, it never happened. It's okay. You know, things work out for a reason. And
yeah,
is what it is. I think, you know, for me, I was really surprised by how it does work. And it's crazy. Like, there's so much, obviously, there's so much drama, but there's just so much, you know, that you're focusing in on one person, one thing, you know, unlike you ever are in any real life scenario, right? And, you know, as good as anything.
Yes.
Does work. So, you know, I was really hopeful. And then for whatever reason, I just didn't get that chance to really open up, you know, more than a couple minutes. So it was unfortunate.
Are you glad you went on The Bachelor? Like, is that something you look back upon and you're like, I'm glad I did it?
Yeah, no, I think for personally, it's allowed me to grow, you know, in ways that, you know, I certainly wasn't going to get if I was just hanging out in the pandemic in New York and, you know, doing the typical dating routine that I was doing. Right. And I was, you know, I was engaged, you know, in the year prior to going on the show and I was like this close. Right. And it was definitely not the one. And it was a mutual decision to pull the ripcord on it. And that was definitely the right thing to do. You know, but I never really thought about putting myself out there in such a transparent way. And now, you know, I feel like my balls have grown like tenfold, right? It's like, you like, once you go and do something like that, you're just, you know, you're out there and you're happy to be who you are and be very raw and real, not just on social media, but, you know, in relationships, right? It's like social media, quite the contrary. I think oftentimes, like, you know, you're throwing your best face on and you know, there is sincerity in being genuine, right? And I try to do that. But obviously, you know, things are filtered, things are edited and all those good things that we all know. But I think in real life, it's like, you know, I am happy to shoot the shit with anyone and talk about anything, you know? And
yeah,
it's been great. Obviously, some doors have opened and those things are flattering and nice as well. So can't complain.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad, like, I think you said it right. Like, not only obviously like social media and stuff, but like, and I think it's funny because like I still talk about my experience a lot, right? I'm coming almost on 4 years, but it's such a very momental, like, it's just a huge moment in our lives. You know what I mean? So like it changes, like you get certain paths, all of a sudden you change and you grow as like a man and you grow emotionally. And I know that now in relationships, I'm a completely different person than I was back then. The reason I get this all the time, like, why are you still talking about it? Because it was like a huge moment in my life and it changed my life. And so it's cool when people still talk about it and talk about how it changed their lives and what it's done for their lives. So I'm glad you're in like a great place, man. It's good to hear. It's really good to hear.
Of course, I made some good relationships from it as well, right? Like, you know, good friends. They care about, right? And that's you know, few and far between at 36, 30, I'm 37, right? Like, you know, like that was the last thing I thought I was going to get out of that year of the pandemic, you know, when I did this, right?
Very true.
Expect to meet, you know, that many good friends and really genuinely good people.
We'll be right back.
So obviously, you know, it didn't work out on The Bachelorette. So I want to talk to you, man. Were there any conversations with you about being The Bachelor? Like, was there anything that happened? Were there any conversations? Did you sign anything? Like, what was that process like after you finished The Bachelorette before they picked the new Bachelor?
So, you know, there was little talks here and there. I never signed anything, never anything like that. Like I wasn't like deep into the process. You know, what was clear that I was set out for was paradise, you know, and that was all in motion. You know, there was a contract and in place, and I was playing the hard ball, as you'd imagine I was. And I came forth with a lot of honesty, referring back to some of those things that I was talking about, you know, that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out with total honesty on those things, that contract was reneged and pulled. I then was escalated to HR, and there was a lot of things that happened. So
interesting.
Yeah. When I say that, like it was wrong, you know, and I think that there's things that, you know, should not have happened right throughout that entire, you know, process. And I was set, I was going to go on paradise. I would have done it. And I wasn't, you know, I was like, I mean, I even talked to you. I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, they could screw me. They continue on this dialogue. And like, I was at the point where, you know, I was pretty aware of what was going on, you know, even with the show.
Yeah.
And I was happy to lean into situations and have fun and go with it, because I knew what was going on. But at the same time, any moment that was there for, you know, romance or a situation with Tayshia, I was taking it 100,000% seriously and trying to put my best foot forward every single step of the way. And I would have gone into paradise with the same, you know, sort of mentality. And, you know, I think that there was like, unfortunately, that was pulled out from under me. And it wasn't anything to do with my, you know, current relationship. We weren't in, you know, a relationship at that point. We had met, you know, we had reconnected, but we weren't in a, you know, set relationship by any means. We were still like long distance. And like, I was like, I'm not, at this point, 36 years old. I've done that back when I was in college. Like, I would never do that. You know, like, I just,
right.
New York, get to Florida, give me a break. And so, yeah, I was going to go on the show, and then that was, you know, taken away. And I think, while, you know, throughout even the actual show, I was told there's always like a bigger picture in mind for you, Bennett. And then afterwards, there was other things that were, you know, continually talked about. It just never really transpired.
Did they just kind of hang, like, let more or less keep you on the hook for paradise? Or did they actually give you an answer like, hey, man, we don't see a reason for you to come down on the beach this year? Like, did they ever give you a straight up answer?
I had a contract, like a written, you know, PDF contract to sign. And when I came forward with these things that I was trying to, because there was something that I was reluctant about doing that was, you know, a partnership deal, right? And basically they said, you know, we don't want, you know, people coming on to the show. And I don't think I'm like violating anything by saying this. They don't onto the show promote, you know, products and such. And it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
that's what everyone comes on this show for.
Hey, fucking man.
Second off, you guys control what we wear on any scene and anything that we do. So, you know, if you don't want me wearing my, you know, shoes or whatever else, like, I'm not allowed to wear it. We all know that's how it goes, you know? And so,
yeah. Well,
that was not it. I mean, we know that is not it. And I said that, and I was, you know, immediately escorted to HR with everything else. And it was like run up this, like, you know, totem pole. And, you know, I tried to tell them, listen, like, you guys know what you did to me. And I know what that is in like court and legally. And, you know, like, I'm not trying to go there. I am trying to, you know, actually like go through with this process, because this is, you know, more important than like where I'm at. I would not have gone and like, you know, done the real show and come out feeling the way that I did, knowing that this actually works. I want to give it one more shot, you know, like, and we'll see, you know, and, you know, it's ridiculous at this age, you know, that I'm at, you know, to be able to go and do that from work, which like, it's such a busy schedule, but I was willing to go all in on it. And it just didn't, you know, happen. They pulled the contract on me, they reneged, and like, that was it.
That's super interesting, man. Cause I mean, I know a lot of people were really excited for you to be in paradise, and a lot of people were shocked when you weren't in paradise. So it's interesting to kind of hear kind of why maybe it didn't work out and what happened, because it blows my mind sometimes that the show itself is all about money, which is fine. That is their job. Like, they have a job to do, right? They have a TV show to make. So they'll pick who they think is going to be best rating so they can line their pockets, which is fine. But at the same token, like, why can't we, you know what I mean? It's like, why can't we in the same breath like you guys use us. So like, why can't we use you to make a little money? Right. So I get your frustration there. Like, I can't imagine that, you know, you were like wanted to go, and it sounds like you wanted to go for the right reasons. And they still were like, no, like, it's just not something that we feel comfortable with. So that's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, there's, and I'm not being like totally clear. Right. And talking about the, intimate details and the things that, you know, happen.
Right.
But as someone that works and hires people and, you know, works with organizations on their build outs and like the HR and all of that stuff, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when that line was crossed, they viewed me as a liability.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what happened. The reality of it is, you know, there's actually like legal actions. You can't renege on someone's, you know, contract, on someone's contract.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not right. But, you know, I'm not out here to, you know, try to like toot horns about anything. But I just think that unfortunately, you know, I try to respect and value them more than I was, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. And, you know, that they're a beast.
Yeah, very hard to fight. I've learned that the hard way. So obviously you didn't go on Paradise, but it seems like it worked out, man, because all of a sudden you were like, it seems like you're so happy now and the relationship you're in and the points in your life that you're in. So, man, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the relationship and the woman in your life.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah, she's incredible. So funny enough, we met long ago, and it was one of those things. I was her student as a yoga student going to the class.
Oh,
I'm a football, you know, ex-football guy. Everything pops, right? Like when I work, mm-hmm. I've been through 3 knee surgeries now, you know, all those things. I still lift weights 5-6 days a week, right? I lift weights, mm-hmm. 2 months. And the yoga was like my off day, you know, go stretch. One stretch is enough. And I found this, you know, instructor, and I was, you know, I would do the class pass and stuff, bounce around to different classes. And I was like, wow, she's incredible. And, you know, I even invited my girlfriend and fiance at the time, you know, to her class, probably, I don't know, 10, 20 times. Right. And she just never coincidentally came. Like we went to so many classes together, she never came. And so she, you know, they never had that meeting, which thank God. Right. But, you know, we reconnected and basically, you know, I shot her a message even prior to going on the show. And she was, you know, dating someone. And so timing wasn't right. You know, fast forward, you know, post show, shot her a message. Leading up to the show, even I was like, you know, just trying again, shooting a shot. And she's like, you know,
right.
You know, no, still dating the guy. Like, if you go on my social media, which is public, you can see that. Like, come on.
That's funny.
You know, and then, you know, after the show, I just caught her, you know, and it was like one of those things that she said, actually, I'm actually heading into New York. I've been out of New York for, you know, over a year. And just broke up. So timing is great. Let's get together. Ooh. And when it was like, you know, it was like an instant connection. And I think she was reluctant, as you might imagine, about, you know, the show, but she also had respect because she said, you know, as someone that does, you know, social media beyond just being a yoga instructor, and that's part of my work and my life, I appreciate that as, you know, even if it's not something that you're pursuing as like a career, being able to, you know, put yourself out there on a reality show. I have great respect for that. And, you know, she's just like so deep. She's not like just like a movement, you know, yogi girl on Instagram. Like she's like very, very spiritual, very, very deep. You know, she's a UVA graduate. She's super smart and just really, really thoughtful and like the best heart I've ever known. So I'm super happy and, you know, lucky as can be. Like I'm like the luckiest man. Yeah. So
good man.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, we love hearing that. It's always pretty cool to see like people, especially people who don't go on Paradise and stuff and don't chase the fame and don't like try and do like 5, 6, 7 shows. And then all of a sudden you see they're like wildly happy without the show. You know what I mean? So that's always it's very promising. Like I feel good. Like that's, you know, it's pretty cool to see. So congrats, man. That's really cool. Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, the flip side of that, it's like, you know, I came back from the show and, you know, the thought of dating, like it changes the game. You know, there's
yes.
a lot to worry about. There's a lot, you know, things out there and like you're reluctant to do anything, you know, I mean, aside from, you know, being cooped up and, you know, playing out the contract, you know, effectively, even though, you know, you didn't end up with, you know, the Bachelorette, right? Like, even then, it's like, there's just added pressures that are, you know, people I think take for granted. And, you know, for those of us that aren't, you know, super excited about that or looking for, obviously most people aren't looking for a girl that is looking for that, but beyond for that unnecessary attention, especially on a first, you know, date and early in the game, you know, it really is a detriment to your success in building a relationship, I think.
I've talked about that before. I always say what was harder before the show in dating is now easier. And what was easier before the show was harder. Like, it's easier to get dates, but it's harder to find genuine, you know, like genuine connections. So it's funny how like dating after the show is very different, very difficult. That is very difficult in a lot of ways. So and it's pretty cool to know that this girl, like, you know, you guys knew each other to a degree before the show. So it wasn't like, obviously you knew she wasn't super into you just for the show. You know what I mean? So that's probably helps.
No, quite the opposite. Like when she was coming to me, you know, it was like one of those things, like, she just does not seem like someone that would at all, you know, follow or care, but give me a break. We all Google people, you know, and so it was like about 45 minutes, hour into the first date. Like, I don't know what happened in the conversation, but I was like, did you Google me before we cut, you know, cause like, and, you know, she's like, yeah, I was waiting on when that was going to come up. We just, you know, had the whole, you know, rundown
conversation. So. Yeah. So is she living in LA with you right now?
Yeah. And that's, you know, full-time roommate, full-time partner. And you know, that's the move is, it's always interesting. you know,
yeah, like, I know,
figuring things out, decorating and organizing and all that. And, you know, as you might imagine, I'm a fairly particular guy about some things. And like, she was kind of, you know, I mean, she had been, you know, at home living, and she was living, you know, throughout the pandemic and, you know, even, you know, into 2021, you know, living at home with her family, just because she went home, right? You know, like a lot of people did, you know, and when the shit hit the fan. And so it was a bit of a transition. And I think, you know, I've lived with a girlfriend and fiance in the past and know how that goes. And I think, you know, I was a little bit more sensitive and hopefully more caring to needs and compromises and all those things this time, but it's been great. And, you know, I will say at the same time, it was nice. She's out of town this week and I got a lot of shit done. Like, it's like, gonna be,
like, love that. I love that.
And yeah, she actually wanted to make the jump out here. You know, for her ability to be able to do content, you know, like if you're doing content, lighting and everything, you know, really, really matters. If you're in New York City, it'd
be hard. Yeah.
Up in that, like, you know, small apartment, and, you know, I had a good apartment in New York, but the lighting wasn't, I mean, I've got 18 foot ceilings with full Florida, you know, ceiling windows. It's ridiculous. It's beautiful. So she is super happy, and like, it's the active lifestyle that we both lead, and, you know, happy to meet new people. I've got a handful of friends, but it's also like a total reset, you know, post show. And after 15 years in New York, it's like time to do something different, time to shake it up.
Good. That's awesome. So what do you see? Like, what do you have on the docket for you? Like, what do you have kind of, you've been working on, whether it be privately or, you know, social, you know, when it comes to like, you know, the entertainment biz, if you will.
Yeah, man. You know, so all right, twofold. I still am a executive search, like recruiter for finance, and I work with, you know, family offices, private equity firms, and wealth managers. We'll pause there on that. That's you know, that is the hustle, and you know, I'm constantly doing it. At the same time, I'm switching between social media. I'm having calls from brands. I'm having calls from, you know, like just all sorts of stuff, right?
Right, like.
Jason Tardik talks about like that tweener he had, you know, before he went, you know, and I don't know that I'll ever give that up.
Yeah.
If I could marry the two in a way that like allows me to do, you know, both, that's the ideal world. You know, I've got some exciting things in the pipe. I can't talk about some, and I'll talk, you know, about what I can.
Yeah.
Being out here, hopefully in LA, like opens doors to doing things, more things in entertainment, and, you know, would love to, you know, get involved in other shows and other, you know, hosting opportunities or something of that nature. Knock on wood, hopefully a podcast will be coming sooner than later in the next, you know, call it,
love that,
3 to 6 months. I think that's a good, you know, start. I'm doing some legwork on that now. And, you know, otherwise, you know, I've pitched a show. I think there's some, you know, a need in the Bachelor world for things to get kind of shaken up a little bit, not from the bat. I mean, not that that's like been in touch, but you know, right. I think there's a better way to go about, you know, dating. I think there's some creative energy that can get pumped into things. I've loosely, you know, pitched even and alluded to it on my social media, like a road trip dating show, and I'll spare you all the details there, but I think it kind of combine, you know, even some aspects. And you know what? The best scenario would be, hey, Piggyback Off is like a spinoff of The Bachelor, and you can bring in all these other characters and, you know, kind of just like keep that momentum going as their channel for them. Personally, I don't know if they want to work with me, you know, like,
right.
But I mean, I think being able to do something not like that, that's like a very real life experience where, it, you know, like you're a guy in Colorado. I'm sure you've been on a few road trips in your life. Like, mm-hmm. you do that with a significant other. That's really like kind of a get off the bed kind of moment, you know, like you get to really know each other. You're spending really, you know, time on top of each other. And if you did it in a way that really beautifully showcased America, you could go into other cities, bring in Bachelor alums, have meetups with single guys and do like a group date. And you, like, yeah. You know, maybe they just like get to connect with some people that are there and like kind of do some fun things like that. You can do it independently, obviously the franchise, of course. But I think that's one. I just turned down a show, which was a launch of a reality show. And Emily's girlfriend was going to come on and I were going to come on as like a, you know, couple in the segment, but it was the launch. I didn't really feel like that was like the one. And you right. know, it was going to be on Amazon Prime or Hulu, which, you know, great, of course, great. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I wasn't totally sold and sure, you know, sure of it. Right. And right. there were some good names actually that were going to be on it. I just didn't hit the gut, you know, the way, you know, you got to listen to your gut at this age.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, otherwise, yeah, of course I'm doing, you know, some fun stuff on social media. I've, invested in this, company that's, it's a friend from high school. It's like is, you know, wine grapes. It's like a wine reduction of waste for the wine industry and like the raisins from wine grapes, you know, that are obviously all just drying and getting, you know, into the soil, which obviously makes the soil better too, but why not have, you know, a food product out of it? He's like doing something. Right. That and it's like he's soaking them in chocolate and Greek, you know, yogurt stuff, but it's like a superfood. It has like packed with antioxidants, doing that. And I'm working with a couple of different brands on like product development type stuff as well. That's about all I can say.
We'll keep our ears out. Yeah. And that's a lot of,
yeah, a lot of stuff anyway.
Yeah. So we'll keep our ears out. Yeah.
That plate is full.
You know,
it'll be exactly. It'll be a good surprise when everything does come out, man.
We'll be right back.
Do you watch like The Bachelorette anymore? The Bachelor, any of those shows?
Hell yeah. I watch every single. Once you've done it, you know, you have such a deeper appreciation. I'll tell you this sincerely. I never watched one single episode until I clicked send on the application.
Wow. Interesting.
You know, I wish I watched a few more, but I immediately started, you know, binging a couple seasons and, you know, it was like, only other thing that was going on in the pandemic was like The Last Dance. And so it was like, you know, time to watch, you know, and like, figure out what I was going into. And yeah, man, I watch every single season. You just have like a different perspective and analysis on, and that's why I love your recaps. I'm like,
appreciate that.
There's just things that you pick up on and know what's going on. Right. In a totally different way.
No, I appreciate. And I completely agree. Like I feel like people who have been on the show just watch through a completely different lens. Like we see things the regular audience doesn't see and we hear things. And so it's cool that, cause I now too, same dude, I would never watch this show if I hadn't been on it. You know what I mean? There's no way I'd sit down for 2 hours.
So what do you guys think of me then? Shit.
Hey, you got this podcast. We'll give you a break. We'll give you a break.
Do you guys watch the reality, you know, shows, but at all?
Eric does. Eric's a big reality TV guy.
There we go. What do you like?
Man, shit.
You can do it. Say it. He watches everything.
This is gonna be so embarrassing. Like, I love 90 Day Fiance for some reason. yeah, all the Bachelor shows. I just finished Joe Millionaire. Love Island, Love is Blind. I watch everything.
He loves it.
For some reason, I love this trashy fucking television, man.
I get it.
It's just such an attention grabber. Like, I can't watch a movie to save my life, but I'll sit there and binge a series.
Did you watch Singles Inferno?
No, I've never even heard of that.
All right. You got to do that one, man. And I'm serious. And this is it's a Korean show on Netflix. Okay. And I'm telling you right now, it is 100% like the most heartfelt. There is no trash, no ridiculousness. And there's so much more character development and sentimental, heartfelt moments that come out from this show that, I'm learning these things, I guess, from my girlfriend, but like, it's just like a more heartfelt culture. And like that trash would not fly, in Korea, like the things you see on Paradise or F-Boy Island or something like, right? But the character development, which is something that I think is like such a void in the Bachelor franchise in many respects, right? It's wild. Like it blew my mind. So check that out.
Interesting.
And this on Netflix?
Check that out. Yeah. It's on Netflix. I think it's only like 6 or 8 episodes maybe. So you'll rip through it pretty quick. But like, you're like, come on, like when are the explosions and like the sexy moments going to happen and things like that. But like, it kind of hooks you a little bit. And like, I don't know. It's just a juxtaposition of what we're used to, right? That's just like totally.
Yeah.
And FY Island, I've got a good friend that was reached out to me, and I thought I was getting punked when I first met him, because someone told him you've got to reach out to Bennett if you're going to go and do this, right? And FY Island was done by Elon Gale, right?
And Bill, and there's a few Bachelor producers on there. Yeah.
And I walked in, I'm not joking. This guy walks in with a white scarf, like a top coat, like meeting this guy.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is going on? Like, am I getting punked? and then he goes into former banker, all this, finance. And I'm pulling the ripcord to go and like do this. Like, we got to talk. And I was just like, all right, man, like you're being... You're getting casted as me, and like, here's what you need.
That's great.
Yeah. Talk to me. Let's talk Bachelor. Sorry for that tangent.
No, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I did want to ask is you guys, during the finale, Blake had an interesting tweet, and then you kind of had a little countering tweet.
Yeah.
So Blake let off with his tweet, kind of saying leads have a better chance at finding love if they come from the top three. You countered this argument and saying whether you are top five or top three does not matter at all, as long as you know that the journey works. And then you went on to say it's a matter of men versus children on a TV show to get married. And unfortunately, puppets are chosen over men when production wants them to play the lead. And these are two very compelling points.
Kind of, but I also feel like we weirdly agree. Like, well, first of all, I want to say, that got picked up by like fucking everybody, man. Like there was a lot of articles written about that. It's hilarious that like one simple tweet can get picked up and blown up. It's hilarious. But I think you made a great point when you said, first of all, the puppets over men thing, because I don't think enough people know this. Like, I think obviously like us in the inner circle, quote unquote, know this, but like there's a reason Bennett didn't get, cast on Paradise, because he wouldn't be a puppet. And there's a reason why certain people
was.
Yes. There's a reason why certain people aren't The Bachelor and certain people like don't have a ton of screen time on Paradise, even though they're like awesome people. And that's because they won't do or say the things that producers want them to do. So I think that's an important point that you made throughout, in that tweet for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously it came from a personal standpoint. Like when I said, I think as long as you know that it works and you believe in it and you're genuinely see how you can fall in love with someone on the show, right? Like, if you don't believe that and then you have no business, obviously, being a lead. And then I think, twofold, I've seen it, too much. And since beginning off the show, watching, other episodes and watching other seasons and other past seasons and forward, seasons now, it's very clear, right? I think if the puppeteers want complete control, and if you are a potential liability, or if you, push back on things, it's not going to work. And I'm not talking about, Hollywood moments and stuff. Like I think we all have, if you've been on the show, you're shooting a blockbuster, like a Hollywood.
Yeah.
right? Like you are well aware of that. Yeah, sure. If you're on Paradise and you're like my buddy, you know, like Blake Monar, who's like, I'm not doing this cheesy stuff for like whatever. He's just like, no, I'm not, you know, like, come on. You want to have a conversation? I'll get real with you. Like I respect him for that. That's not going to go, you know, you're not going to go to the distance. You're definitely not getting to do, you know, like you're not going on a hot air balloon and like, you know, right. Whatever. Yeah. Like, of course. Right. Like that makes sense. Like, you know, know what you're getting into. But I think there's, if you're aware of, you know, the strings are getting pulled and things are going on around you. And, you know, like if it goes back to, you know, things like my dad, who was in the military, you know, used to say like about, right. It's like, if you tell, there's a reason that there's young 18 to 21 year olds, right. In the military, you tell them to run over that hill, they're going to go run, you know, and if you're a bit older or, you know, like mature, you're like, wonder what's over that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why run over the hill?
What's on the other side of that hill?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be a little bit more thoughtful and it's the same thing, right. You know, like, yeah, makes sense. You know, I was a producer, I'd probably, you know, want the same thing. But at the same time, my recommendation would be if you want a real, you know, genuine, heartfelt, successful show to create both, you got to pick someone who is aware of that and partners with you. And it's like, hey, well, I'm down for that. All right, let's play ball on this. Okay. But can we do it this way? Or here's what I would like to do that I think will give you, you know, both and like have a conversation that's like a little bit, you know, more joint. And then it becomes a little bit more of an authentic experience. And you know what? Puppeteers might have some new creativity instead of recycling the same dates and the same shit we see every single season too.
Yeah. I always say it's very formulaic.
And you know, doing it for however many years, so I can't totally bust, you know, chops on that. It's like, you know, they got a process and a formula that works, you know? So
yeah.
But it seems like it hasn't been working as, you know, already. So, you know, something to think
yeah.
about.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. And Blake, you said, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you mentioned this on a few episodes over the past couple of weeks, but that top three that you referred to is because of, I think you said, once you hit a certain threshold on the show, once you get to hometowns, it's a completely different ball game.
Yeah. 100%. And like, I agree. So kind of going back to what Bennett said too, you have to believe in the process, right? You have to believe that you can fall in love and that maybe you have fallen in love. So I always say those top three, usually for the most part, have fallen in love, even if it's bubble love, like some have had like bubble love, quote unquote. It's still the feeling of love and you feel like in that moment you're in love. And so I think it's important for the lead to have felt that before so they know what these poor women are going through and how hard it is and how much it hurts to see you going on dates with other women, other men, you know, whatever it is. So once you hit hometowns, you know, the first six, seven episodes are filmed roughly in about 6 weeks. And then the last four episodes are filmed in 6 weeks. So it changes. You're very isolated. You're very alone. You're not hanging out with the dudes. You're constantly traveling and you're just with the one producer. So the formula changes a lot when you hit hometown. So I think it's important for the lead to probably have felt that experience before and know what these contestants are going through at that point. And that's why I kind of believe that.
I get it. You know, and again, I think I was there and I felt, you know, I felt in love. I felt like it was too much. And the way that it was, you know, portrayed and shown, right? Like, it's like people think I like, you know, jumped the fence or something like Colton moved and like, like, hello, Tisha. And it was right. Like, obviously that, you know, you don't just get to stick around on the show to like surprise someone or like, yeah, there's no,
right.
Like, yeah, I, you know, I guess, we had some different experiences since the travel and everything else. And like, we literally were in the bubble.
Yeah, you guys are just in Palm mm-hmm. Springs or desert.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
You guys are about isolated at the La Quinta.
Yeah.
That was quite different. And then if you think of the, you know, other chords that were, you know, being played is like, it's very peculiar that I was given like a beautiful, you know, suite removed from the beginning from everyone. Right.
Right. Like, oh, you didn't have a roommate.
Like sniffing things out from the beginning and knew what was going on. And it was like,
yeah, nothing is an accident. Nothing is an accident with them.
Absolutely. And obviously that creates, you know, like people are like, screw this guy. Why does he get this? Like that creates, you know, all of that. And it's like, no, like, you know what, actually like there was like this, like, Bennett being, you know, condescending because he's like dressed like he's dressed. It's like, guys, I wear a fucking suit to work. I have for the last like 15 years. Like, And yeah, it all happened because I told, Noah, who I like, who's like set to, he's actually set to come over and hang out and out here in LA, right? Like they said he had 0% chance of like walking out of there with the Bachelorette. It's like, that was true. You know what? If he would tell you like that was different, like or anyone else, like I'll be like, okay. But well, I guess you could say that he was on the show, and so he does have But anyways, it was like this whole like thing that just it was like blown up into this. That's the way it goes, man. You know,
it is.
You roll with it. You roll with it. I think you just try to be as honest and heartfelt and truthful as you possibly can. And there's so many elements that are out of your control. You make the best of it. And for my view is like, hey, if I'd had one date, I think I would have been F2, no doubt.
No doubt.
And I was 5-6, depending on how you count me or Noah going out at the same time, right? Like either way. And it's like, I didn't get one, date. And every single moment was spent being heartfelt with Tayshia until I was brought into this 2-on-1 that I was like, well, now I have to talk, about like another guy. Like I've never talked about another guy when we've hung out.
Yeah, right.
Why are we doing it now?
Yeah. So. What I always say too is like, obviously the number one question we all get asked, right? Is it scripted? I say no, but everything is more or less storyboarded. You know what I mean? They have a plan for a lot of the people. And I think your character arc, if you want to call it, is exactly what you just kind of talked about. Like you were going to be the guy who everybody was like, oh, he thinks he's the shit. He's condescending. He's got this giant suite. Like that was your storyboard. That was your narrative. There's not much you can do. They have all the power, unfortunately, whether it be on site while they're filming or in the editing room. So it's very hard to like change, your character arc. It's very hard.
Totally. Totally. And I knew that from the beginning. And that was what was like, a lot of my friends call me Ben, and I knew it was going to be a little bit more interesting to be Bennett.
Uh-huh.
My character, given my resume and everything, I was coming from New York, being like the finance guy, and I knew my wardrobe. I knew I was Bennett, and there's like some scene where I'm like running in like the first or second episode in like a button up and shorts and loafers, right? And it's like there's like the memes were like this guy runs like a gazelle or what, it's like all this like ridiculous stuff. But there was this moment where and we didn't. That was right after, night one. Right. And so obviously you don't know anyone, right? Like,
right.
It's like Hollywood Lights. Like you certainly don't have an in-depth conversation, but don't know each other. And I remember this guy like yells from like across the way, like, yo, Bennett, like how big is your yacht? And I was like, I looked down. I'm like, I'm wearing a button-up shirt. I was like, okay, I see what's going on here, and then it clicked.
right.
You got two options. You can fight it, and try to like, go against that and like be, like everything that I am, or you can lean into it, have fun with it, and hopefully get that one date. And then you can have that full character arc and development where your heart does get to come out. And fortunately it didn't happen for me, I was like this close.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting though, like what one little like getting a date or getting a 10-minute conversation or a group date, like what the difference it can make in your character arc and your branches. Yeah, for sure.
The ability to like connect, in like mm-hmm. a deeper way, because I think it goes both ways. That character, it's obviously like a lead knows the ability to have more time and have that in-depth conversation. You're right, like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Serious. That's a long date, and I say that laughing in real life, of course, but like that means the world,
Good to see you, man. Glad to talk to you. I'm so glad you're doing like how well you are, man. Cause yeah. I love seeing people who more or less have kind of been like, not that you've been like, fuck the show, but you've been like, I'm gonna break away a little bit and create my own narrative, create my own persona and be like the person I want to be, not the person the show wants me to be. So I always love seeing that, man. And it's good to see you do that. So
appreciate it, man. Yeah. I mean, that was the funniest thing. I think it was like one of those things that, the show is like, I got to be able to like play, a number of my friends' roles, right? Like it was like, I got even like the Harvard shtick, right? Like, that's the first time I brought it up on this podcast, right? Was that?
That was the first time. It was the first time.
And the funniest thing is like, I actually brought that up when it was not prompted, you know, like one time in the bathroom, like, oh, this guy from Boston just arrived on the show. I was like, hey, man, like I spent some time in Boston. How'd you spend some time in Boston? Boom. Right. And like another time was like one of the guys that played football was like, I played with Ryan Fitzpatrick and I was like, Fitzy, like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Obviously you think it's like this guy's sitting around going Harvard. It's like, you know, like, but anyways, you try to find love to the best of your ability. And if it's not meant to be, like, hopefully you have fun with it along the way and it works out for you, you know, in the long term. And, you know, knock on wood, it's panned out.
Yeah. You've definitely found it with Emily.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, that apple cider pulled pork looked fire this week.
Oh man.
Holy shit.
A Traeger, man, you need that.
Oh, Traeger's is life changing.
You've got a setup, like you got a setup.
I know. I need to get me a good Traeger. Some the new ones that you can control with your phone and shit. Like that stuff's crazy, man. That stuff's crazy. So,
and we're gonna go to DM them. We're gonna get the. We're gonna
get that. We're gonna figure it out.
Also, you know, so I did that road trip last year. I'm gonna do it this year from the opposite side of the coast. And you know, if I'm heading, you know, your way, if I can make it one way or another, I would love to see you, you know, properly in Colorado.
Dude, yeah. Absolutely. In Colorado, or dude, we're obviously traveling constantly and playing shows everywhere. So we'll just keep an eye on your road trip.
We'll kind of be out in California in a month at Stagecoach. So
yeah, we're going to be at Stagecoach.
Oh, you know what? You know, Southern boy, I think I can make it out of Stagecoach.
If you do, man, we might have a spot for you to stay. So man, let us know for sure if you make your way out to Stagecoach.
You can wear your Sperry boat shoes in the desert. It's cool. I wear a hoodie, so.
Yeah, Eric wears only hoodies, so yeah. So where can everybody find you, whether it be, you know, whatever, TikTok, Twitter, the Instagram, wherever?
Yeah, Instagram, of course, Ben and Andrew Jordan. You know, the TikTok, unfortunately, I didn't start it until way later.
Same.
Same. But, you know, it's still whatever. It's like growing. Like, I think if I had more time, you know, I'd fire up TikToks. It's like an afterthought. But, yeah, Ben and Andrew Jordan on both. Hit me up.
Yeah, absolutely. Go follow him, guys. Keep up. And yeah, man, like I said, it was great to see you. And we'll definitely let you know when we're in LA. And I'll be playing some other shows out there, some festivals and stuff. So we'll let you know. And if you're ever in Colorado, man, you got to let us know.
Awesome, dude. Thanks so much.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Behind the Rose.